And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
Here's Lindegaard making Forrest back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Madden, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!
Hello and welcome to the Glovers Cast, the only podcast dedicated to the team that's just keeping things interesting a little bit longer at the top of National League South. I'm Ian, this is Ben.
I am Ben, I've checked, definitely am. How are we doing?
Doing well, how are you?
Okay, I think. Yeah, fine.
Good, good, good. And Dave's here too. All right, Dave.
Hello, mate. I'm doing all right. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm all right. Was your trip down worth it?
It wasn't, but, you know, whatever will be, will be. I've said for a long time that if I stopped going because they lost, I'd have stopped going years ago. And that remains the case today.
I'm not sure where we start with this one. Perhaps we should just start at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because it was a crazy game, a crazy afternoon. But I don't know how you felt coming in, rocking up to Huish Park, Dave. But, you know, there was a decent buzz around the place, a good atmosphere, loads of people there. Yeah, how did you feel?
I actually felt all right. As you know, distant Glover, Alex and I took a drive down on Friday. That was a bit of a trip, but I won't go into that. And yeah, I felt quite calm on Friday night. Slept quite well on Friday night. Got to the ground, was absolutely fine. Went in the side of space, had a drink there, saw a few people, including yourself. And it wasn't until I walked on to the terrace that the butterflies started to kick in. But then I walked onto the terrace and stood in my usual spot. It's becoming my usual spot in the middle of the thatches there, alongside Foxy and his dad. And yeah, then I started to feel a few butterflies. I'm not gonna blame Foxy for that, but he did look at me at the beginning and said, "It's not all about today, you know."
So Foxy.
I think he may have been, you know, having a premonition or something like that. But yeah, he may be one to ask for the lottery numbers.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I was nervous. Mm-hmm. I was nervous and I was not confident. And I said to you before, I said, I don't feel like I did when we played Sheffield United.
Yeah.
I don't feel like we're coming into this game like I'm really sure about today. I just didn't have that feeling. And yeah, was just nervous. And I think that's maybe down to the last 11 years of us not being very good and not having much faith anymore. But yeah, I didn't expect it to unfold the way it did. And I think, you know, team news wise, you know, not a lot, couldn't change much at the back anyway, but a couple of changes up top. Frank Nublay leading the line with Pearson on the left and Sonny in behind, and then everything else as you were. But we started really well. Didn't necessarily have the control, but I think that the wind was horrific. And
how bad was it? Because it didn't come, like, I didn't hear a lot about it between the Ians.
I think it made Worthing, I mean, I think they play out from the back anyway, but they were playing very short from, you know, goal kicks, and, you know, they had to keep it on the deck and play out. There was no way they could go long with it because it would just blow back. So they didn't, they played it effectively on the floor. But the chance for Sam Pearson in like the third minute looked bad at the time, but then when you watch it back on the highlights, oh,
snatches at it. He just snatches at it. I think if that's in the 33rd minute, 43rd minute, 63rd minute, I think he scores it. He snatches at it. He's not ready for it. He's leaning back. He hasn't played a lot of football, has he, Sam Pearson? He hasn't been a regular starter over the last month or so and regularly getting 90 minutes in. And I genuinely think, I've seen it back a number of times, he's not expecting it to come his way. He leans back, snatches at it. It's everything from a player that hasn't kicked a football really for a long, long time. But it's such a glorious chance.
Yeah, huge. Huge. Yeah. And then we have another one shortly after as well with Sonny Blulo Everton, where, you know, that was, I think it was Pearson who works that ball across. It Pearson on Newsday. Yeah. Great ball across and just asking to be put home. Again, just the keeper on of it and stops it. I don't know, Dave, did you think he was maybe too close to the goal? Was
it can't be too close to the goal. Not well, you're no. in front of the damn thing.
No.
Or too close to the goalkeeper, maybe. The goalkeeper, you know, he just has to, you know, he has to do a bit of a job, doesn't he? But, you know, if he's down on the ground already and you kick it on the floor.
Yeah. Looking at it on the highlights, I would agree with you. And it was one of those of just put everything behind it and do whatever you need to do to get it over the line. But from where I was stood, I didn't have a clue. We were like, I thought he'd missed it to start with. And then I was like, surely you can't miss it from there. I mean, we've seen players miss chances closer in than that, haven't we? Well, maybe not closer. I don't think you can get any closer in than that. But yeah, it was one of those. There were a few guys still around me, and I think every one of those chances was like, it's not going to be our day, is it? It's not going to be our day, is it? So, the prophets of doom were straight out, but. I did think that that was what cost us. I know you can say, well, the penalty and other things that I'm sure will come on to. For me, we should have been
outside.
We could have been 4-0 up. Well, let's say 4-1, given one. 4-1 up at half time. But because we had two good chances, like you say, Pearson, Sonny, New Blair's two, doesn't he? Two chances?
He does, yeah. He does the ones where he's sort of leaning back on his left foot as well, aren't they? It's awkward, but, you know, they're Jordan Young put one of those in off the bar, didn't he? Against Torquay, that kind of chance in that sort of area with his left foot. They probably half chances, but still.
Yeah. But even if you take half of those chances away, that's still two goals we should have scored in that first half, at least. And I think if that happens, then some of the things that follow don't happen.
Oh, if we're 2-0 up, if Sonny, I was listening, but then to watch the highlights, I want Sonny to go through the back of the net with the ball. just everything. Take the lot with you, mate. Take the net out if you have to. Just take that ball across the line as you go. If we're 2-0 up, if Pearson scores his and Sonny scores his, the whole place is a party for the next hour. It is just loud and Worthing go back in their shells. They have to, because they there's no chance that they come out and play the football that they do. There's no chance they get the belief that they do. And that feeling of the keeper stopped another one. We're still in this. We're still going to go and do this and all of that. There's just no chance that they play the football that they do at 2-0 down. The whole day just becomes a party then, and we just probably cruise through and maybe add a third or a fourth or whatever it is. But it's hard not to think back and think that first 50 minutes. It was something that the Ian's talked about, the first goal being significant, the first moment being significant. First moment went to us and we couldn't deal with it. The first goal went to them and then we couldn't really deal with it either.
Yeah, let's talk about the goal. Obviously we could be out of sight by the time that penalty even gets given. I think the general the Yeovil players was that it was harsh. I couldn't see from my angle really that, you know, it was Pearce gets the other side of Wannell. It looked like from where we stood, it looks like Wannell sort of through the bodies, it looked like he'd like tripped him over or something, or tried to go through him to get the ball. But I think looking back at the highlights, there's a bit of a tug, and down he goes.
Yeah, from where I was on the thatches, you could tell that there was, and I thought it was a penalty, and I thought that it was one of those that if you do that, a player like Ollie Pearce is going to go down, and I don't think the ref had an option. He could have not given it then, but I think at that point it's enough contact for you to say it was just a crazy thing to do. And I mean, Easter, I had absolutely no question he was going to score. No doubt in my mind whatsoever that he was going to score. Sent Joe Doe the wrong way, didn't he? So
I feel like had that exact incident taken place in the centre circle whilst trying to deal with a long ball, I think the game probably continues.
Yeah.
And it's not given. But because it's
and then
in the
you
penalty...
have a word with someone afterwards, don't you? You
know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But because it's in the penalty area, Pearce makes sure the referee knows that there's been contact.
Yeah.
It's a bit elaborate. It's a bit of a chuck himself on the floor, but there is probably contact, and there is probably enough reason for the referee to give it. I mean, Tapping Merchant got himself a 12-yard tapping, didn't he?
He did. I think the frustration boiled over, throughout the afternoon, but very much at the end. But I think a lot of that frustration came down from if that foul had happened in the middle of the pitch, and fouls like that did happen in the middle of the pitch, and the referee gave nothing. Like Jordan Young, had a poor game, but there were plenty of decisions that he probably should have had and didn't. And, we've got quite a few pictures that Mr. Brown has taken of Jordan Young, sat on the floor with his arms in the air, appealing for stuff. And it was one of those where, again, that happened to him quite a few times. Before the second goal, there's a trip on him. Like I could see it was sort of right in front of us. You could see it's a trip. We could hear the contact and the referee waves play on. And I think there was, it was the fact that those decisions were, it's a safe place to make decisions like that.
Yeah.
But, and in the penalty box, and we'll come to the offside, and that's marginal. That is marginal. But it was just like he's the pattern of the game was he'll make decisions, in the final third, but not in the middle of the pitch where, things then evolve into situations. But I don't know. I think as well for the lack of fouls he gave, the amount of yellow cards.
Yeah, there were a lot of yellow
that
cards
were given as well. One will get a booking for the pool, which I'm not sure. I don't know. You think that's a booking? I suppose by the letter of the law, sure, pull is, but
inside the box as well. I think again, you do
Hooper gets a booking afterwards as well for it. Their manager got a booking.
Yeah,
their manager gets a million bookings.
It was just, I don't know. We don't like talking about the ref, but it was just one of those days where he was just at the centre of everything.
Well, here's the thing, right? That referee is, and we've talked about this before, we know full well that they do their research. He's given 50 yellow cards in the National League North in about a dozen games, I think it is. He's sent four people off. He's given 11 penalties in his National League North games. He does mostly National League North games. He'd given 11 penalties. He gave two more in our game. Like, this information was there. We can find this information out that he is a card happy ref. In fact, I think his last game was his first game of the season, reds, penalties, yellows all over the shop. And the last game he'd done before us, loads of yellows. It was Spennymoor versus Farsley. Gave a penalty, loads of yellows. This was one of those things. I would question first and foremost, is he the referee for that occasion? I'm not sure he is. Looking at some of the other games he's done other big club games. He did Scunthorpe Tamworth, which is the biggest game in the National League North, and kept it really light. One yellow card, one red card. It was the same player, got booked twice. The National League know, they're not stupid. They know which games are going to have a lot on them. And when you've got big attendances and big crowds, high emotions, derby games, which you get in North-South divisions, you have to have strong referees who aren't going to fling around cards all over the shop. I'd question the appointment, and I would hope that we did our
due diligence on it.
Yeah, to be perfectly honest.
We do.
So yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, we did. Yeah.
So, like, they would have known that, but I think, you know, Mark Cooper talked about the occasion and us playing the occasion rather than the game. And I think once that goal goes in and the pressure is immediately, you know, exponentially growing as each minute ticks on, you know, those players, I don't want to say they crumbled under the pressure particularly, but to keep your emotions in check and be able to control yourself in that situation perhaps has proven a challenge.
If you've had that feeling inside of you where you start to feel like it's not going our way, we've missed a couple of chances, their keeper's pulled off a worldie from Sonny from half a yard out, then the penalty gets given, it's a bit iffy, it's a bit soft, you get this feeling of the whole world's against us. It is really difficult to flip your head around from that. 6,000 people here, desperate for us to get over the line. We have to try and do something. You become a bit more panicked. You make decisions you don't think about. You are snatching at the ball. You are chirping off a bit more than you should do. And it is a very, very, very difficult thing to do. Yeah. Very, very difficult thing to do. I've just had a look at who the referee is for Thursday, by the way. Keep your gobs shut.
Right.
If you think Gareth Thomas likes a yellow card, this guy used to work for Clinton's. Loves him. Yeah. He's never done a Yeovil. He's not done a Yeovil game this season before. Did apparently book everybody in Bishop Stortford versus Brackley, though, apparently. Well, it's in.
Yeah. I mean, what I'd also say about that moment is that the atmosphere just died. It was a morgue. It was, as Worthing fans were singing Football in the Library at that point. It was,
And it got even quieter later on, but let's get to the second goal just before half time. You know, that Mark Cooper said he wanted to get the players, you know, he was shouting at the players, let's get to half time and let's, control it. And yeah, I just a ball over the top. Falston looks pretty much in control of it, but
very much
pounded down by Joe Felix, who I thought both of their wing backs for who was the other one? Dylan Farge, wasn't he? Was he at the start of the season? I feel like he played for another team against us.
Yeah, you're right.
To say it was
Eastbourne?
St Albans, maybe.
Oh, I know St Albans, you're right, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him and Joe Felix on the right, you know, I mean, they were basically wingers rather than wingbacks for a lot of the game. It was a good example of wingbacks working, I'd say. But he chases down Falston on his right foot, doesn't get the pass right back to Joe Day, and I think it's a heavy touch from Felix, but if not, it's an unselfish pass to his teammate to just tap in the corner, Dolahan, and and it was all, that was like the worst thing that could have happened just before half time, because at 1-0, you think we could get one and things will turn around. But two, it's that extra, like, you go on from thinking, oh, we can turn this around for a win, and thinking, oh, shit, we need to try and get a draw now.
No. There's no, I can't really defend. I'd love to go all, Will Hughes didn't mean to do that against Hemel on this situation right now, but I can't really. In the name of seeing that half out, he's got to put that in the stands. Or turn out and not go back to the keeper and just play it simple. I think Falston's done absolutely fine since coming in for Whittle. I don't think I'm going to sit here and chuck around under a bus. Obviously a genuine error. Just can't. He's. It's a little bit, it's just got a little hint of the Wes Morgan, Lee Morris's about it.
God.
Just a little hint about it, doesn't it? You see him scrambling back and never going to get there, and he tries to go around the keeper. Sucker punch. Headset was gone at work. That was thrown across the room. That I'd had that. I'd had enough at that point. I was off. I needed a halftime cup of tea.
I spent a lot of time hunched over the desk yesterday. And we had the headsets with the mics on, and normally when I do it with Sharon, she's got just a lip mic, and I would have loved the lip mic rather than a headset, because I would have been able to put that down and scream, because it was just so painful. I think just given what we did against Torquay, obviously I didn't see the Weymouth game, but knowing that, you know, a week before we were like irrepressible. And, you know, obviously the opposition was very different. But, yeah, so we go into halftime.
Just to say, when we were talking about Weymouth last night, and I was saying about how we didn't start like it was a derby, like we didn't know it was a derby, I thought Saturday, that's what we did. And like you say, we weren't controlled, but it was more like that. It was more fast and furious. It's almost like we got our games mixed up, wasn't it?
Yeah, but at the same time, and I think this kind of was a thread throughout the game, the control like that we had against Torquay just was not there at all. And I think part of that's down to how the Worthing frontline played, because, you know, I know I've said about Ollie Pearce being a tap-in merchant and only scores penalties, but I think one thing I did notice that he runs around a lot and pulls players all over the place. He doesn't run around thinking, I want the ball here. He runs around to make a gaping hole for someone else to run into and get a chance. And the amount of times he pulled Wannell out of position, and we've not really seen that. And then Morgan Williams then gets exposed. And I think it happened a couple of other times as well. It was just, yeah, they didn't look comfortable all afternoon. And I think down to like losing their footing as well. Both of them lost their footing at points and slipped on the pitch. And it was so uncharacteristic of what we've seen. And I think one of the comments on Facebook yesterday I saw was that everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong. And, you know, at halftime we make a change, bringing Reece Murphy on for Sam Pearson. Low Everton goes on to the left and Murphy through the middle. So we're back to Murphy and Custard up top. And we got a penalty, early doors penalty, which I think was definitely a penalty. Looking at the highlights on that one, I think Ian on commentary, he initially thought it was soft, but to me it looked like Murphy gets the wrong side, tackle comes in and down he
goes. Perfect. Poacher play in the box, body between ball and player. Either you're going to tap it in or you're going to get fouled. It is absolutely perfect. You can tell it was a definite 100% penalty because of how begrudgingly the referee gives it.
Yeah.
Blows the whistle and just kind of angrily gestures towards the penalty spot going, yeah, I suppose I've got to give that.
Not that it was worth a damn.
Well,
in the end.
Who would you have put anyone else on that penalty at that point?
Not in a million years.
On Thursday night, same thing happens. Anyone else you want to take that penalty?
No.
No, me neither. Me neither.
No. And that's the point Alex Fisher made. He said afterwards as well. He said, for the moment, for the situation, there's not another player that you would want to put on it. And, you know, correct. Alex Fisher wasn't going to he's not going to put himself forward for those after his... Who is it he missed against?
Gateshead.
He was on a hat trick.
And he was on a hat trick. Gateshead.
So, and if it went quiet after that second goal went in and after they scored their penalty, it was more like a morgue than a library. Murphy misses that penalty. Absolutely silent.
I was
no. There wasn't even any get it forwards in front of us. It was very quiet and took a little while for anyone really to get back into it. I think the game got a bit scrappy. We started leaving spaces, but I feel like Worthing were quite the two, and didn't feel the need to stretch us too much until obviously we get our goal. But I think Fisher comes on for. Fisher came on for Genesini, didn't he? Worthington goes to right back. Right, yeah. Everton comes back inside, and Fisher then goes out. I thought he was going to go up top, but he goes up to right wing.
That was interesting. When that sub happens, I assume we're going to go back three. I assume Forston will be up left of a three, and we just go 3-4-3 and just chuck him forward. But I was surprised to hear Worthington go to right back.
Yeah.
It felt like it was a sort of a, obviously he's not Michael Smith, but it was that sort of, he can get forward and create things from there, which, to be fair to him, on a couple of occasions he did, but I think it was all about getting one, wasn't it? Getting one back.
Yeah, which we did. But, I mean, yeah. Fisher's first action was the cross into the box. You know, he flies down the right wing and whips one in to Nublé. And certainly lifted us a little bit. But, you know, I sort of... Worthing weren't a very big team.
No.
I thought we need... I did say I think I'd bring Fisher on at some point here to try and, you know, get some balls into the box and get something on it. Because even though we had Frank, he's not a number nine, is he? I think he comes back so deep to try and get on the ball. And I think that's part of the reason why we made that change at half time, was because I don't think Pearce... I think Pearson's head was pretty... I feel like his head had dropped after that miss, pretty much. And he did have some bright moments, but there were other matches where I feel like he could have done more. And I think, yeah, you drop Nublé back into impact things. And so the Fisher change, you know, we got a goal and a nice celebration as well. He did the old ball up the shirt and thumb suck.
Yeah.
Indicating that there's a baby Fisher on the way.
Maybe, yeah. Or maybe just needed somewhere to put it.
But, no, he did say fish. After that. Yeah.
Congratulations.
So that, you know, that and I
that caviar?
Baby
I
fish.
I don't know if he's going to eat them.
No. I was going to say, I think caviar is baby fish before they're baby fish.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Although, I mean, let's not get into biology, but I imagine that at some point, baby fish has been caviar.
Okay.
I've confused myself with this analogy, I have to say.
It doesn't Carry surprise on. Me that the three of us don't know what caviar is.
No. No.
Although, that's not in our meal deal.
I was accused of shopping at Waitrose today when I was in Aldi. And I won't say who said that to me, but he knows and he'll be listening. So, and I wasn't. I was in Aldi. And then I caught the bus home. So there you go. I'm a working class hero.
Did you have massive bags? No, I only had one.
I'm not organized enough to do a big shop. I'm one of these convenience shoppers.
I bet you've got one of the cardboard boxes that you can have.
Yeah.
You on the bus with a box on your lap. Like.
Yeah, full of flipping turnips, probably.
Anyway, that was a little side quest there, wasn't it? I was so hoping that Fisher scores that goal, and you know about him scoring the winner at Weymouth that wins us the league. We've talked about him having big moments this season, and that could have been the big one.
Yeah,
for him.
And that year on, almost exactly a year on from when he had that injury as well. It was a fairy tale, wasn't it? Literally,
it was, and he doesn't really get chance to celebrate it either. No. Like it's such a big goal and an important goal, but it's so, you know, so important is the, you know, the need to get that second that, you know, just turns around, they all run back and they go again. And so we start pushing even more. And then you get a bit of a, I've finally been in a ground where there's a bit of a bubbling around a goal has been scored somewhere else.
Yeah.
I was dying to ask about that. Tell me about that. Dave, maybe for you, how aware were you of other results? Because I had scores flashing up on my phone all over the shop.
So I had scores flashing on my watch. So my watch buzzes every time flash scores goes off, and we heard this cheer coming from the like the back of the Thatchers, and we were all looking at each other going, "Is any of Jones of Slough, wasn't it? Of Slough scored?"
Yeah.
And I was looking at my watch and going, "No, I haven't got anything. And then someone said, Slough scored. And then he just heard everyone just, yeah, it was proper transistor radio, you know, late 90s, like, yeah, stuff where you got the guy with the big earphones on who's been listening to the game from like the other end of the country or something. Yeah. But
one bloke in Block K with a radio.
Yeah, exactly.
He just
yeah.
tells his mate next to him, who tells his mate yeah, next exactly. to him.
Word of
works
mouth,
its way but... around.
Yeah. So yeah, yeah, it definitely picked up then, and oh yeah, I know what's coming next.
Yeah, and by next you mean about 14 and a half seconds next.
Can I just say, it was the best 5 seconds of my life. It absolutely was.
Christ. Jeez. Yeah. The best 5 seconds of your life.
Nothing I've ever done that lasted 5 seconds was that good. Not that I did. Not that I did anything.
Everyone, if you're listening to this and your minds have all done what our minds did, you're just as bad as my. You're
exactly.
just as bad as us.
You're all as bad as each
Filth,
other.
The lot of you. The lot of you. Unbelievable.
5 seconds. Give me some credit.
And you know, it was not even the. It wasn't the best 5 seconds of my life because I saw the flag go up.
You saw the flag go up, yeah.
And he's got two kids. That's why.
Well, maybe that's why he's got two kids.
How he ended up in this mess.
Yeah.
The
I
flag
know.
Goes up, and I'm like, oh, it's not. It doesn't count. And the celebrations were amazing.
Yeah.
Not a fan of pyro, but
yeah,
bit of pyro at that time.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool to see. And then the players just all over the place, like celebrating. And I'm like, flags
who's,
up.
Who's
flags
I,
up?
You heard gonna... someone on the commentary, didn't you?
Yeah.
On the someone's like, it's offside. Was that you?
Yeah. There's a Worthing dude, because on the highlights there's no commentary, but you can hear the Worthing cheers, and I think it's the Worthing commentator or co-commentator, whatever they've got. He clearly spots it early, and calls it, and it's the most painful cinema ever. But if you watch the highlights and you just take a little portion of a crowd or a little portion of the action, and you can see completely different time frames of realizing. There's a player that runs round the goal and sort of stays behind the goal. And I don't know who it is. And he's the first to see it. He sees it and his hands go on his head. And I don't know who it is. And maybe HP Source, if that comes out, will show who it is. And you see different people in the crowd. And because of the way the camera is, you see an arm point across and you point at the follow the point and it goes to the lino and... Oh, and then you get a little tiny, quiet little whee at the corner where the Worthing fans are, and you just, oh, it's just the most painful cinematic experience I've ever had. It was hell. And then the conspiracy theories crack on. Then you're starting to see screenshots and going, it wasn't offside, never offside. And then the picture of Gary Brown with everyone round the ref and the linesman, and he's got his card in his hand again already, and you're just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Because that's the moment. That moment wins the league. There's no other way of putting it. You don't. That gets us a point. If that goal stands, we shut up shop. They don't score. We've won the league. It is this, and that's I think where the emotion rises highest. It's not a case of that goal just gets us a point against a good Worthing team, and they are good. We should probably admit that.
Yeah,
but. It's the moment that wins the league. There's no coming back for anyone after that. And that's why emotions are just so damn high at that point. And then when it starts to sort of trickle through, and quite quickly I was getting sort of, you were seeing messages on tweets and stuff of, it wasn't off, it didn't look off. And you're just thinking, oh,
can I
God.
Just say, anyone who was in the Thatcher's end, Nobody could have known whether that was offside
No.
or not. Never in a
Wow.
million years. All I did was looked at their players, and I don't think when they were running back, any of their players
No.
had their arms up.
No.
It was
None of them
only
did.
So I don't think anyone was appealing for it.
No. And it's really good football. It's perfect Reece Murphy football. It's peel off into the space between centre backs or centre back and full back. Perfect through ball, couple of touches, nice finish over the unwashing keeper. It is perfect Murph ball.
It's a
In
great, I
front.
mean, in that situation, in that circumstance, in a moment of that magnitude, it's
What
a
a finish.
finish. It's an unbelievable finish.
Again, against a keeper who's having a worldie, isn't he? He saved
Yes.
a penalty. He's made a save from that he should never make. No, it was. And that's why when you say you wouldn't have anyone else pick up that ball for the penalty, because that's what he can do. That's what he
Yeah.
can do.
Oh,
But
I mean, I feel for everyone who took a little while to see the flag.
I was that person. I was.
And
I think I may have done what Ben did to me when Ed Upson scored and dragged Alex down the Thatcher's. So
a person you'd met mere hours before.
I was going everywhere. I was going everywhere. Oh.
Yeah. And then I can't remember a lot else other than us really trying to go for it.
Morgan
And
Williams has a really good header. I'm not sure if that's before or after the goal, the offside goal.
I think that was before.
Yeah, it was
That's
before.
a really good header
Yeah.
because it's almost behind him. He's got to arch his neck back and get power on it. It's a
It's a
great
bit like the
header.
Fisher one, isn't it? It's a bit
Yeah.
like the Fisher one. It's
It's a
almost like the same, just outside the post. And
Yeah.
I said at the time, you know, Williams scored that late goal at Worthing. He scored late goals at Bath. Like
That's what he does.
that
That's
was
what
a
he does.
moment for him as well. It could have been, what could have been. And then then it's the offside one, and then we chase the game.
Do you think they knew about Slough?
Knew what?
I think the players
I
knew.
don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think that would have got down to them.
Do you not? Do you not
I
think
mean,
someone behind the dugout just shouts at Coops, Coops, Slough has got a
he
goal,
might
does
have
it?
known, but I don't think he's going to tell them, is he?
Why would you not tell them? I'd be
So
telling them.
Sam is always asking what the scores are. And he, you know, he would have communicated to the bench that Slough had scored, but.
Because am I right in thinking William stays up? I think Ian Randall says Williams doesn't go.
I think Waddle was up there as well for a
I
while.
wonder if they were told and they were just thinking, get scramble it. Because a 2-1 defeat in that situation is st it's still fine. The maths doesn't change, and we'll get onto it with what's coming up. But n I think there must have been a point where they knew that a goal would do it. Because I was sat there figuring out, going, hang on, so they've scored Braintree of the right, but it doesn't matter about Braintree, it doesn't matter about Maidstone. If we score, it's done. One goal does it. I think they would have been told, even if it's for the final couple of minutes.
Yeah. And then
Then
a
they
decent
score a
finish from
third.
a tap-in merchant. A hell of a tap-in that, wasn't it?
It was great finish. A lot of space. Players just couldn't get back.
They don't
Sonny's
count.
like
Well,
hopping to get back.
yeah, I'm a little bit worried about him. I wonder if he's in the spot of bother.
Yeah, like I thought. I mean, he got the sponsor's man of the match, but I think for a player who started it in number 10, moved to left wing, and then moved to centre midfield, just sort of showing his versatility. I did think he was our best player on the day, but I think, you know, Mark Cooper said a few were off colour, and they were. I think, you know, the entire defence didn't have a great day, and you know, with if Williams and Wannall, Cooper and Worthington don't, if those perform, it, you know, kind of hamstrings everyone else. And when Frank's so far up the pitch and can't influence, you've not got that sort of, you know, that spine of experience. If they don't perform, then, you know, how do the young players, how does Genesini do it? How does Pearson do it? Yeah.
I like Dean Randall's line afterwards, eight can carry three, but three can't carry eight.
Like that, yeah. Sounds like a really like Sesame Street maths, doesn't it?
You calling Ian Randle Big Bird?
Or Mr. Snuffleupagus, one or the other.
Count. One,
Yeah, the
two,
count.
three.
And then we all have the sad realization that we've got to go to bloody Gloucester on a Thursday night.
Well, you were already going anyway, Ben, weren't you?
You've been
itching to go regardless.
In my head, I'd always said, if it had got to it, I'd go, knowing full well that it wouldn't get to it. And then we were 3-1 down against Worthing, going, oh,
you could have told me. To I saying you were going to go.
I was sat here trying to work out whether or not it would be okay if Chelmsford conceded, and I was like, no, that doesn't really matter anyway. So yeah.
So Scotland I got home. I got home and said, well, Kate had actually been listening in. And she was like, sounded quite dramatic. And I was like, yeah. She's like, do you want to go to Gloucester on Thursday? Like, can I? Please. So I am now the owner of a ticket to
only 11 quid.
A game. Yeah, it's good value. Mm. Yeah, petrol though. But there we are. Can't complain. Especially if you two are going. I'm not going to complain about a bit of petrol.
I think, apart from the Legends game, I think this is the first time the three of us have been at a game, isn't it?
Quite possibly. Especially considering I don't think any of us are on media duties.
Yeah.
I was going to call us all in the away end then, but I'm not sure there's a home end.
No. It'll be a very unsegregated, and we may be the only fans there, I think. If I were to...
We could all... go round the entire perimeter
yeah.
of the pitch, like, and
if a couple of Truro fans like turn up, we'll give them like a little corner somewhere.
Yeah. A couple of seats.
Yeah. A
couple of pasties. Ugh. So should we go? Well, let's talk about the end. The scenes at the end were a little, there was a lot of drama at the final whistle.
Yeah.
Manager, staff, sort of. I mean, they were waiting for the referee at half time to come to the tunnel. And then at full time, they went to meet him rather than wait. And yeah, I know Mark Cooper said it was calm afterwards, but from the view I had looking, you know, directly opposite the tunnel, it was a slow move into the tunnel. Normally, you know, they all fly down there, but it was a lot of congestion, suggesting that I didn't see what would have happened, but there was clearly conversations being had.
I don't understand why the referee would have gone down the tunnel. Like,
well,
wait.
I think everyone, yeah, I think wait. Everyone had, but obviously, you know, the you know, Martin Hellier comes onto the pitch. And he's trying to get to the referee, which, you know, wasn't brilliant. And, you know, my concern there is what punishment comes from that, because I think inevitably there will be something that comes from that.
And the way football associations talk about referees these days, and everything you hear about and the protection of referees, even if they wanted to, and I don't see a reason why they would want to not protect a referee. I just don't think they could, because it was so public. It was on social media in seconds, wasn't it? Mm. So such a public thing to happen that, yeah, it's a concern.
It is, and
not
I
good luck.
No, I understand the frustration. I mean, there was the best part of 6,000 people there, who, if they could have got on the pitch and got to the referee, probably would have liked to. You can understand it boiling over, but you know, you just got to try and control it in those situations, because football is a crazy game and it doesn't always go the way the script is written. In fact, it often never goes the way the script was written.
And I think it's worth bearing in mind that at that point, we know that the maths hadn't changed.
Yeah.
Even if you don't know the Slough score, the maths hadn't changed.
You need to win.
Four games, 3 points. As it turns out, four games, 1 point.
Yeah.
Look, the biggest Hewish Park moment probably since 2013 was taken away from us, probably, potentially, maybe because of an incorrect official's decision. That hurts. That hurts everyone. That hurts me, and I wasn't even there. But you just can't do that. You just can't do that. And that's something that, yeah, the devil will be in the detail of the referee's report. And am I right in thinking there was an assessor there? So the assessor will have a report. It'll all get put back through, and then someone somewhere will have to make a decision. There's no point speculating on what was in that report because we'll never know in a million years. So the devil will be in that detail, and probably when April's FA charges come out at the start of May, there'll be something there, and it'll be some kind of probably fairly significant slap on the wrist or something. But just everyone...
That's a significant slap on the wrist.
One of those, you know, those bands that you get from like crackers.
Slap band.
One of those slap bands. It'll be one of those, yeah. A big one. One of them.
Something you see on the TV when they talk about the 1950s and they show people getting disciplined at school.
Yeah. Like inside of a wooden meter rule.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, one of those. but is this not the reason why Rule 2 was invented?
Yeah.
Sleep on it. It's fine. Don't get too high with the highs. Don't get
We've
too
had
low.
Rule 1 and Rule 2 in the space Throwing of
out,
like...
smashed out the window. Yeah. Glover's cash rules mean nothing anymore.
Yeah. Even Debs. So Debs came on...
on the pitch?
Glover's girl.
She was on the pitch. She was chasing down.
She was on the radio.
Bad enough?
No, she came up to chat to myself and Rich on the radio after the game because, you know, the world's media was there to see Yeovil win the league on.
Their fault, is it? Right. Okay.
And they planned in. I've never seen so many BBC correspondents at one game, and there was at least four. And they were sort of going around getting all the content and all of that, lined people up post match, and yeah, Debs came on and specifically referred to Glover's cast rule
one,
but also said she thought the ref had a Worthing top on underneath his shirt. Definitely came on the team bus with them. So she blew it, you know, totally out of the water on BBC Somerset on Saturday.
But it's fine. It's still fine. Because on Thursday, we get to play a team that's played four times. So between us finishing at 5 o'clock on Saturday, Truro played Saturday night, they played Monday night, or will play Monday night, and they'll have played Wednesday night before they play us on Thursday night. It's okay. It's okay. I have seen comments online of, are we really going to win this league? Yes. Yes, we are. Stop being so silly. We are. It's fine. Yeah. Yeah. Not in the perfect way, but we will.
We're hobbling over. Over that line.
That's fine. That's absolutely fine. That is absolutely fine to hobble over a line. There's no problem in that. You are given a 46-game season for a reason. If I said to you, let's say we win on Thursday night and we go to 89 points, but that's it. We don't win another thing. We don't score another goal. We lose every other game 1-0. We still win the league. We will have played 46, won 27, drawn 8, lost however many. If I said to you, you can lose the first 11, draw the next 8, so after 19 games you've got 8 points, but you'll win the next 27 and win the league on 89 points, you'd take it, wouldn't you? And if I said to you, win the first 27, draw the next 8, and then lose the last 11, but you'll still win the league on 89 points, you'd take it, wouldn't you? You are given this whole season.
Depends how much I trust you.
You absolutely do trust me. Trust me, I'm a doctor. You absolutely have this whole season. There will be a one point in time that everyone will remember, and the Hollywood scriptwriters would have it being that Murphy goal. But in 5 years' time, when the 10-year-olds are 15, they will be telling their mates about the trophy in the cabinet. And when the 15-year-olds are 20, and starting to take their kids to the game, they'll be telling them about the trophy in the cabinet and that they were there during that season and part of the three record-breaking crowds and the Pink Day and the Weymouth win and the Taunton win and this and that and this and that. It's heartbreaking to lose that moment, but we aren't going to... We're going to get over the line, however it comes. We just are. There is no conceivable way we lose four games in a row and everyone else is perfect.
So shall I tell you, I described this to another fan who'd been around that long as our Heybridge Swifts moment, which somebody might recognise if they've been listening to this.
I don't know what a Heybridge Swift is.
No relation to Taylor. So in the season that I always talk about from the mid-1990s, we needed to win at a place called Heybridge Swifts we played. And we took, we were playing away. Again, for that level of football, we took ridiculous numbers to Heybridge, which is like a two horse town, might not even have a horse. And we drew 0-0 there. And it was the biggest anticlimax ever. We needed to win. I think it was Enfield who we were up against, and all we needed to do was win. We went to Bromley the following Tuesday night. Howard Forrington scored two goals and we won 2-1. And everybody who was around at that time, who was at that game, will talk about that night at Bromley. And that's exactly what it was. No lesser character was DMing me in at the end of the game than Graham Roberts, the manager of the time there. And oh, he
Dave,
said,
Dave, sorry, you just dropped that name on
yeah,
the floor.
Yeah, it's gone through the floor as well. My neighbour's going to be furious. But he said, what happened there then? That was his exact. And I was like, Graham, this is neither the time nor the place. And then I told him we were playing Truro and I explained their fixture situation. And he said, it'll be fine. Just get there. And then start to build again in the summer. And I thought, it's the most sensible advice I've been given all day. Because me and Alex, we made ourselves talk to each other for the first hour of that drive home, but we really didn't want to. And then Storm Kathleen kicked in, and Jesus, I do have to pay tribute to Alex. For putting up with me chewing his ear off for 5 hours on the way down. I don't think I drew breath the whole way. And B, for his pretty impressive driving on the M6 whilst the car was literally being blown off the road in the rain and the wind. It was horrendous. So yeah, my thanks and appreciation to Alex for getting me there, although he did apologize to me several times for it like it was his fault.
Sorry about this weather.
No, the result was his fault.
Oh.
It's like, yeah, you can't do anything about either of them, so it's fine.
It's probably your fault, Dave, if anything. We've learned something. Exactly.
I won't talk about my previous 100% record at Hewish Park, and I won't talk about the fact that I won three games, but yeah.
No, please don't.
It's fine. I'm turning up to my first league game of the season. Don't worry about it.
Exactly, yeah.
Fair finish is 0-0.
Yeah,
it's a 0-0.
That's fine.
Nil draw
fine.
To win the league. Yeah, I
know. You're offering me a 0-0 draw right now. I'm taking the damn thing. Yeah, play an 8-1-1 formation. Shut up shop. Go home with a point. Title in hand. See you at Dartford. We'll lift the cup. End of. I don't care. The latest Distant Glover cartoon, by the way, is sensational regarding the match on Thursday. I'd quite like to try and read it.
Go on. I tried to read it twice and I still couldn't quite follow it. But go on.
Thursday's match explained. The match is between two teams from the West Country. The more Western West Country team play at a ground to the east of the more Eastern West Country team's ground. The more Western play more Eastern team, West Country team are also the southernmost team in the National League South, so they play on a National League North pitch. The more Northern, more Eastern play more Western West Country team are playing away, so have to travel nearly 100 miles to the pitch of the more Southern, more Western play more Eastern West Country team. The more Southern, more Western play more Eastern West Country team are playing at home, so they have to travel 200 miles to their pitch.
And then what's the last line?
Next week, offside.
It was the last line that cracked me up.
Offside rules explained. Absolutely sensational. What, up there with one of my favourites.
Well done, Alex.
How long did it... I wonder how long it took Alex to write that.
That
is, and then read it through, and it's like, no, that makes a bit of sense.
I've got this image of like a map of the southwest of England, and Alex like drawing lines, getting his ruler out and working. Well, that's more western. We're a bit more northern, yeah. But that's up east. Yeah, brilliant, absolutely fantastic.
Well read as well. I would have stumbled through that.
Yes, it's fine. Okay.
Should we take some questions? I don't know if we've got any questions. Actually.
I think we've got a couple. I think.
I did. There was quite a few on Facebook.
Yeah. I've got Twitter. Derek Hamilton asks, this season I have watched part-time players with skills, character and fitness, for example Chippenham and Worthy. Should we be more flexible in recruitment and secure the benefits of a mixed labour economy and find another Howie? You're referring to your mate David.
There is no other Howie. He's a one-off.
We have been quite flexible, haven't we? We took one or part time to full time. We took,
I think Falston. We have.
Yeah.
What I would say though is we put a lot of our eggs in the Murphy and Hyde basket, yeah. Which has been, you know, was sensible but costly. And then we've also got Pollock, which is through no fault of our own. We've got, you know, the wages of Scott Pollock on the.
Hmm.
On the bill as well, that it's not maybe given us that flexibility in January to be able to go and get like 100% of what we really needed up front, or in February or in March. You know, we brought in Dylan Morgan, we did bring in Sam Pearson, but you know, we've then been able to bring back Ollie Thomas, who has kind of struggled for fitness as well. And we've tried Jamari Clark on loan as well, and now he's injured too. But it's that, you know, and you cannot fault the signings of Hyde and Murphy from a ambition, and it makes sense to sign these two players. But it feels a little bit like, you know, we've not been able to. I don't think you can get them midway through the season, that kind of player, but we've not really been able to perhaps stretch ourselves as much as we maybe could have done.
Yeah, but
we wouldn't
I think
be in the position we're in.
Well, exactly. That's
two.
It. That's what it I was going to say. Right? Think about the goals Reece Murphy scored towards the start of the season, obviously, and fewer, obviously, but important goals that Jake Hyde scored. Then I don't think we are where we are without those two players. And for that, I would absolutely vindicate bringing them in. And I think when you see Reece Murphy I've never been a footballer at any level whatsoever. But I imagine a player like that is worth more than just the goals he scores. Even as a character, I would think.
Yeah.
Mark Cooper said after the game that there weren't many in that team that have got promotions and titles on their CV. He does.
Dan Johnson, is anyone else worried that we seem to be unable to deal with or turn up for big games? Multiple times, Cooper has said that if we back the team and they'll deliver, with the exception of the Torquay game, in brackets, an easy game, we failed to deal with the big occasions. I'm not
Braintree
sure I totally
was a big, agree
with this.
Yeah, Braintree was a big occasion. Weymouth was a big occasion. First Taunton game was a big occasion. We've beat two teams from the division above in the FA Cup. Big occasions.
Bath away. That was a big occasion.
Worthing away, massive.
Yeah, I think the fact that the last two games we've played have had big crowds there, and we haven't done it in either game, is probably what.
Braintree away.
Recency bias in it.
Braintree away was a big occasion. We've won 26 big occasions this season in the league.
What I do wonder is, I know, you know, Mark Cooper said he wanted to treat it like, you know, any other game, just a regular game, and, you know, try and, you know, keep everyone pretty level-headed. And I do wonder if that's a difficult thing to do, because it's
almost impossible.
Yes, it was.
I'm going to say, okay, you can't.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of that, why, you know, is it worth taking that approach, or do you, you know, big it up and say, like, this is a massive game, guys. Like, I don't know if it, you know, you can say, you know, in hindsight, you can say maybe treating it as every other game wasn't necessarily maybe the right thing to do. But Yeah, like with all the everything that was going on beforehand with a packed house. And I didn't hear this because of having the headsets on, but with the apparently it was repeated a few times that the trophy will not be here today.
It'll
Or
be
we're
here
not.
next Saturday.
Yeah. And it's a bit like, oh.
Oh dear. It can.
Yeah, I didn't realize that was being hollowed out over the tannoy more than once, but there we go.
Can I ask a question off of Facebook, which kind of relates to this then, from Ryan Croucher? He says, hypothetical, I know, but imagine the three plebs have been called into the dressing room 5 minutes before kickoff to counteract our sluggish start. You've been asked to say to do a "This is Sparta" style inspiration monologue. What are you saying to get them raring to go?
I don't think enough need. I don't think there needs to be much said.
I want you to go full Michael
He's
Sheen,
got
like the like
a
Michael Sheen did
duet,
with the
Ben.
Welsh do.
I would simply remind them that on 26 separate occasions this season, they've been the best team in a game. I would tell them they've beaten teams from the division above and made very good teams from the division above look a bit silly at times in the FA Cup. I'd remind the players that were here last year of the absolute poop show they went through for this football club, and so many of them have stayed. And they will write themselves, they will underline it, bold it, capital it. They will write themselves in history books as a successful Yeovil side. They need to trust themselves, like they have done all season long, remember how good they damn well are, and just go out and show that and trust themselves, because they are the best team in this league. I mean, they just need reminding occasionally. And Mark Cooper said this before. I just have to remember to tell them how good they are. And that's all I'd be doing if I was in that match, in that dressing room at Gloucester. Remember how damn good you are.
It's a
Simple
bit
as that.
long-winded, Ben. I'd have lost you halfway through that, I think, if
That's
I was in that
fine.
chain.
I'd have just read him Alex's cartoon, I think. Instead, no, I'd just tell him about how Ben hugged Adam Stansfield and then became a Yeovil fan. That story enough will move him to tears, I think.
Correct.
I'd have gone a bit more. This is your chance to join the pantheon of Glover's gods.
Oh,
You
fancy.
could your Wheels,
have
your
your
Jevons.
picture on the back. Yeah, the Phil
The
Jevonses of this
Skivertons,
year, of this world.
the Kevin Goulds, the Kirk Jacksons, the Effie Sodgies, the Kevin Amankwas.
Just start
This
shouting
is your more.
random players that they probably never heard of.
The Ronnie Bulls of these world.
Oh no, maybe not. No.
This is your time.
Just don't be a Stefan Stam. Yeah.
The Yemi Odabadi, Kaiser eBay. This world.
He's going to go on, isn't he?
You can join them.
Yeah.
If you can hang on to a 0-0 in Gloucester tonight, do it.
The age-old adage, can you do it on a Thursday night in Gloucester?
Yeah, I didn't think we'd be asking that question this season, did we?
It's just bizarre. Oh, fun fact. We were asked this question a while ago by an emailer, and I can't remember who it was, and apologies if it was you. Assuming Thursday night's game goes ahead, and there's no reason why it shouldn't, it will be the first year, I think, since 2002-2003, where I think we were quite good, that we will have played on every one of the 7 days of the week.
Huh? And do you want to know another fascinating stat from the historical Oracle Nigel Dyson?
Yes, I do.
The Truro game, brackets at Gloucester, will be our 1,000th game in the, at National League level due to the abandonment of Weymouth.
Oh, was he there? So basically, the Murphy moment was never the moment.
Was never the 1,000th. No, 1,000th game.
What I'm saying is it was never the moment.
No.
That was never the script.
It was meant
this
to be
was
1,000.
This was always meant to be the one. Oh,
Nigel Dyson has got his own script. Don't you worry about it. He's got
a
script.
If we'd known
written.
This before, we wouldn't have got so excited about the game, was that?
Yeah, not going to happen.
There you go.
The Oracle has spoken. Carry on.
Is there anything else on Facebook, Dave?
Oh, right. I mean, there's plenty on Facebook. Have you got any more? I thought we were doing Twitter first.
Well, there's only one more, actually. Dan Cabell. Seen lots of the Cooper needs to go boring football and we'll go straight back down with him.
Freaking leg!
thoughts on this? Are they justified or are we so used to winning now? Everyone expects to win every game. Personally, think it's harsh. Got us to where we are. and we're allowed to drop points.
We've lost 8 games this season. We're the only team in the National League South to still be in single figures of games lost this season. We've scored 73 goals this season. Only Worthing in their dodgy penalties and tap-in merchant have scored more. What more do you want? No one's won more games than us.
A few years ago, I used to work with a Chelsea supporter, and he used to spend every Monday morning moaning to me about Jose Mourinho's style of play. But the first hour was spent telling me how brilliant Chelsea were and the fact that they'd won and all of this. And I was like, do you care? You know, I know they didn't win the Champions League under him, but yeah, he always used to go on about that. And I'm like, at the end of the day, people will look back. Oh, the Mourinho years, they were fantastic. Look at all the silverware on. That's all anyone cares about at the end of the day. Yeah. How and like you say, everything that I've heard Mark Cooper say, I believe the vast majority of about how you can't. If we came out and played this wonderful attacking football with the players that we've got, I don't think we'd be. Don't think we'd be top. We might be in the playoffs somewhere, but I think we would have conceded a lot of goals if we had a very different style of play. I think the way that we play is the way we have to play at times to get what we need. And I'm not going to deny that sometimes I look at it and I do think that the devil in my head says get it forward, but then the
does it say it with an accent?
Huh?
Does it say it with an accent?
Get it forward, yeah. Get it forward. Yeah. But then the angel in my head tells me they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing far better than I do. So there you go. Listen to the angel, not devil.
Here's something I noticed about a social media post from our friends at Vanarama_football. They posted a picture of Ollie Pierce's goal and said, "Party poopers." Worthing won 3-1 at Huish Park to ensure YTFC official will have to wait until Monday to secure the title.
Maybe Truro losing will do it.
Does someone know something we don't? I don't know.
There you go.
Well, let's see what happens tomorrow then, shall we?
Yeah.
Or today as you're listening.
Yeah.
That's it for Twitter. Twitter's nice and quiet.
So there are a couple of questions vis-a-vis Mr. Hellier, which we've spoken about. So, like we say, we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but we expect something to happen. But we will find out. Sean Gibbs, why is Charlie Cooper starting instead of ours?
Because he's experienced and someone who's been relied upon all season long. And with the greatest respect to Josh Hours, who I like as a player and hasn't done anything wrong when he's been asked to come in, he hasn't played a lot of football. And right now we just need someone cool-headed, calm-headed to try and get us over the line. He looks a bit injured, I think. I think he's carrying himself through the end of the season.
Charlie Cooper?
Yeah.
He's been held together by tape.
Yeah.
Ian Reece Murphy, I think, have got flipping shares in whatever it is, gorilla tape, shares in scotch, yeah. Not the drink.
Yeah, it was it was one of those days where you didn't notice he did the dirty work and did all of that, but he took a few set pieces that weren't very good,
yeah.
Kicked a few balls out of play, and there was a moment where he lost the ball and clearly is struggling and sort of couldn't chase back in the way that you'd necessarily want being midfielder to chase back. But like you said, I mean, if he is that injured, then there is an argument for, we moved Sonny over and obviously Worthing to move to fullback, but there are things we can do if they are struggling. But I think he's just important on the pitch, I think.
Definitely.
Hilton Maston. I immediately slow down my reading here. I met Hilton's brother, Paul, on the terrace before the Torquay game.
Travel Lodge Maston.
No. No, Premier in Maston.
Okay, sorry. Other brother. Okay.
Yeah, other brother, yeah. Okay. Have the team / squad simply been experiencing...
That took Ian a while. He just got that, sorry.
What? That was poor.
All right.
His
okay,
joke is travel lodge.
Right.
Sorry.
So I'm going to have to read this again now. This is I'm concentrating so much.
Sorry.
Have the team slash squad simply been experiencing the reality of developing at knowing the level, in inverted commas, while playing against other teams used to it? So I think the question is, do teams who've been in this division a long while know the level better than we do? And is that why? Is that something we've experienced? I don't know. I don't know if I'd say we are developing knowing the level. I think by four games from the end of the season, you either know or you don't you?
I think we've taken to the level quite well, personally.
I think we're just a team that is a thin squad now. That is running on fumes at a certain point, and it's just, we're coming up against teams that some teams that we're playing are sort of hitting a bit of momentum, aren't they? And
of course, because they're trying to get into playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
And you talk about the thin squad. We're led to believe there could be a press conference either today, as you're listening, or tomorrow. We were told that Michael Smith isn't far away. He was possibly from the Worthing game, so he might be around. Jake Hyde was training on HP Source and was warming up with the group. Yeah. So an extra body there, possibly. We don't know about Jamari Clark. Jordan Stevens was taken off as a precaution. I guess we could find out whether or not it is still a precaution, and he might be available for the next couple of games. That's four bodies. Before you start talking about Dawes, before you start talking about anyone else that might start being available, Rhys Murphy's match fitness will only get better. We haven't called upon Ollie Thomas in that game.
Man.
That thin squadness feels like it's on the verge of being okay again pretty soon.
Okay, there's a second half to Hilton's question, which we may have already answered, but says, is 1 point left to get with four to go really reason for fans to put too much pressure on the players? Would it have been rejected if it was offered to us at the start of the season? I think you probably explained that.
I think that's exactly right. And, let's get it right. There are going to be a lot more Yeovil fans in Gloucester than Truro fans. It'll be a home game for us, just in Gloucester.
Yeah.
And so that will come with a certain level of expectation. And Paul Watton's team talk is very easy, isn't it? It's be horrible, be tough to beat. Two banks of four. You've played two games in 48 hours. Don't try anything stupid. It's not worth it. So there is going to be an element of patience to Thursday night, but that's fine. Best thing for Thursday night could be is if Truro beat Torquay. If Truro have won on Monday night, they're pretty much safe on 50 points, and then they can sack it off for the rest of the season.
Hilton concludes with, it would appear the ref was on a new level too. So he obviously had an opinion on the ref as well. Okay, what else have we got here? Tim Hubble asks, will the Weymouth be game replayed or not? What do you think?
Yes.
Yeah. Can't see why it wouldn't.
There's a cynic in me that thought, had we won the league and had they won, they would be almost mathematically safe. If we were mathematically champions and they were mathematically safe, the league may have turned around and gone, just have it, it's fine. There's still Bath versus Slough to fit in somewhere as well, by the way. That still hasn't been reorganised. I think it'll probably be replayed, I imagine, Monday the 15th or Tuesday the 16th.
And then a couple of Darren Sowell related questions towards the end here. Jake Porter said, could you ever see a day when Darren Sowell returns to finish his story with a club? Yes or no?
I gave you a grief for dropping a name earlier. I spoke to Darren Sowell not too long ago. Oh, he
football friend.
Basically, he said, A, he still occasionally listens to us. Very strange. But B, he said he truly loves his football club and feels like that Barnet playoff game, we didn't get the right result out of that either. And that story never finished, so to speak. So I don't see why not at some point in the future, if everyone's happy with it, I don't see it being a potential issue for him to return.
You thinking yes or no?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Not yes
wouldn't
or
surprise
no,
me. But so, yes.
Right. Benjamin Mahoney. Have you thought about inviting the data analyst on the pod, similar to what you did with Scott Wickens last season? At a Somerset Premier Cup away game, Darren Searle said he didn't want them and explained why. So it would be very interesting to know what he brings to the table. What data did he capture in advance of Avely, Welling, Chippenham, Slough, Weymouth, and Worthing recently? Perhaps Darren had a point after all.
We have got an entire summer of content to fill. So
yeah, we can ask the question. I would say I think there is a lot of prep that goes into it, and I mean, it's very hard when you're stood next to him to concentrate on what you're trying to say when you can hear him constantly talking to the bench around what the team are doing and what we need to be doing and that kind of thing. And yeah, no, it is interesting to hear, but it'd be good to get a bit more of that. We'll see what we can do, Benjamin.
Seems like a clued up kind of guy. Both Benjamin and the analyst.
Sam.
On to New Meadow Park.
Tiger Turf Stadium. Thank you very much.
Right. Bring on the Tiger Turf.
See you there.
And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making Forrest back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Manon, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!